Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 124, stanzas 1 and 9. 124, stanzas 1 and 9. After the confession of faith, we will sing Psalter 5, the second stanza, Psalter 5, verse 2, after we have confessed with heart and mind our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed and the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41. After the confession, we will sing Psalter 5, verse 2, we have confessed our faith with the Apostles' Creed and the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, as follows.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Question 108. What does the seventh commandment teach us? Answer. That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the shame and live chastely and temporally, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer. Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice man thereto.
The Word of God comes to us from the Old Testament, the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 1, and we will read the verses 26 till 28, and from Genesis chapter 2, the verses 18 till 25. Genesis chapter 1, the verses 26 and 28, and Genesis chapter 2, the verses 18 till 25, and the word of God comes to us as follows.
And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. Then chapter 2, starting at verse 18. And the Lord God said, It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray. Merciful, most gracious God in heaven, we come unto thee as a congregation for the second time on this thy day to thank thee, Lord, and to worship thee, that we can be together in freedom, that we already have listened to what thou hast spoken to us out of the scriptures. And although, Lord, we are used to it, oh, we need to see time and again the blessing and the privilege of it. There are so many Christians in this world who don't have that privilege to open the scriptures in public. Sometimes, Lord, in deep secrets, hidden from each and every one. Sometimes they only have a piece of scripture. And although, Lord, thou art using also that, O God, like we heard yesterday about Iran, who attacked Israel and showed his aggression and all that evil, but also, Lord, that testimony that in that same country, thy church is growing so fast. And the gospel is spread underground very fast. Oh, dear Savior, may we pray that we might have that awareness of having our Bibles, of having this opportunity to come together again this Sabbath day and to listen what thou hast to speak to us. O living Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, O thou art gathering thy church from all around the world. And therefore, Lord, thou hast sent thy servants everywhere to proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom. O God of glory, Lord of lords and King of kings, we come to thee to worship thee, to glorify thee, to put our hope into thee also for this afternoon service. And Lord, when we will speak about marriage life, when we have to speak about the seventh commandment, O Lord, then we want to see how thou hast created marriage as a gift of paradise, as a flower of paradise. And thou knowest, Lord, how that is a topic which can be so sensitive. And we pray for each and every one who struggling with all these matters, in what way, and it can be in all different ways, being a widow or widower, being divorced, never married, or when our marriage life is sometimes not easy. Oh Lord, we pray in all these circumstances that we also might see the meaning of the scriptures and understand the message of thy word. Lord, help us in explaining thy word, and help us also, Lord, to take home the message of scripture. Oh, we are sinners, Lord, in particular when it comes to that seventh commandment. Each and every one feels this is about me. O Lord, and so we pray, give us what to speak and help us in listening and take away everything what can be in the way. Lord, we pray for thy church. We pray already for thy persecuted church in Iran, but remember thy worldwide church. Oh, thy kingdom is worldwide, Lord. May we pray for thy servants. And may we pray for the elders who have to preach. Oh Lord, like we met those men a couple weeks ago in Uganda, several of them were even not able to read or didn't even have a Bible, and still they felt the call to preach that what they know and that what they have heard from others. Oh Lord, remember them and grant them to preach thy word and to be trained and to be able to read the scriptures. Oh Lord, remember thy church worldwide. Revive thy church. Oh, everywhere where is thy word, Lord, there is thy power. And so, like we also have heard this morning, that call, follow me. We know, thou knowest, Lord, when we can struggle with that. First of all, in our personal lives, to come to thee. We don't know how. That we might see, Lord, that thou comest to us again this afternoon with thy word. Like that good Samaritan who bowed down on that man who was under attack. Thou comest to us and give us everything we need for salvation. Oh Lord, grant us to see that. So quite often we think we are willing, but the question is if God is willing. But show us, Lord, that it is the opposite. Oh God, we are not willing to get saved out of free grace alone, out of the finished work of Christ alone. We would like to have something, Lord, in ourselves. But thou hast called us this morning again, follow me. But also, Lord, when we can struggle maybe in our lives with that call, how thou called us as fathers, as mothers, to be servants of thee and serving our children, in our family worship. Oh Lord, how thou callest people to serve as office bearers, elders, deacons, as a minister, how thou callest as Sunday school teachers, how thou callest us as youth leaders, how thou callest people, Lord, to the ministry, callest people to serve thee as a missionary, oh Lord, and we can struggle with all these things. But grant us, Lord, like Peter, just to follow. And to let everything to thee. And thou wilt open a door. And if thou closest a door, thou wilt open a window. And Lord, so we pray for thy church. Worldwide, but also in our community. And Lord, we like to pray also for the Burgessfield Church. When our brother Pastor Lipsy will preach his farewell service this evening. Lord, thou knowest what that means for him and his wife to leave this congregation to follow thee to the United States. Lord, remember him and fill him with thy Holy Spirit and give everything that he needs to follow thee and to leave his congregation, his family at this place, and to go the way thou hast showed him. Lord, remember each and every one of us. Lord, may we pray again for thy people Israel. Oh, please open their eyes to look unto thee as the Messiah, O precious Lord Jesus. Remember the government and give them wisdom in all the decisions to make. Oh Lord, keep them from sin. and pride, but that I may look unto Thee and to Thy Word. Lord, we pray, help and strengthen each and every one of us. We ask Thee, help in listening, help in preaching. Grant us the anointing of Thy Holy Spirit. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 360. And we will sing all stanzas, and in between there will be the collections. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Congregation, we have to think about the seventh commandment like we can find in the Lord's Day 41. It's our confession. It's being part of God's holy law. And as a minister, it's always not an easy thing to speak about that sensitive topic in the right way. And at the same time, it's such an important subject. There's such a need to speak about these matters. There are so many problems connected with the seventh commandment when it comes about sexuality and about marriage life. And so I would like to speak about this important subject in several sermons, because, and this is also in churches, and I don't know exactly the numbers in Canada, but I have seen in the Netherlands 40% of marriages, they ended up in a divorce. And when it comes to other relationships, when people are living together in other ways without marriage, that number is way higher. Broken marriages, broken lives. How easily we say yes on the day of our wedding, but how many broken yes words we see, not only in the world, also in the church. It's the spirit of our time is also going through the churches. And therefore, it's an important topic. And before we go to the text of the Lord's Day 37, which speaks about what God has forbidden, I prefer to start in a positive way. I prefer to start what is actually the purpose of God in marriage life. How God has created marriage. And therefore, this afternoon service, I would ask your attention what you can find in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Congregation, I would not like to start in the negative, in the broken reality of this world and our lives, but to start with how God has created that specific gift of marriage life. And therefore, the theme of this service, this sermon, is biblical marriage. Biblical marriage. And first we will see that it is rooted in the image of God. Man is created according to the image of God as man and woman. Secondly, we will see that this biblical marriage has been solemnized by God Himself in paradise. And thirdly, we will see how this verse 24 forms the basic pattern of every marriage also today. Biblical marriage. It's rooted in the image of God, has been solemnized by God Himself, and forms the basic pattern of every marriage. And maybe you will say, congregation pastor, why you will start in Genesis chapter 2. We all are living after that. We are all living after Genesis 3, after the fall. We are living in a broken reality. We are not living in that paradise anymore. Congregation, when you know a little bit your Bible, you will recognize that the 24th verse of chapter 2 of Genesis is quoted over and over in the scriptures, also in the New Testament. So that makes clear for each and every one of us, for every Christian, that that created order, that given order in Genesis chapter 2 is still applicable. Also today, Paul, he calls back to this verse. You can find in Ephesians 5:30. But even Jesus, he calls back to that verse in Mark 10, verse 7. He quoted that same text. So, therefore, we need to start in creation. Because children, yes, paradise. Where is paradise? We only know it's lost. We know how God created paradise as a wonderful place with beautiful trees and with beautiful life. And Adam and Eve had such a beautiful life with God, in the presence of God. And sometimes we think everything is gone. We have nothing, nothing is left from paradise. But that's not true. That's not true. We still have one flower out of paradise. One flower. And you will say, what kind of flower is that? That's marriage. The bond between man and woman, marriage, it's still a flower given in paradise. Actually, we can say it's given in creation. And that's my first point I would like to clarify, that biblical marriage is rooted in the image of God, like you can find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Now I will read the text. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we are created by God, in the image of God. So, being male, being female, being man, being woman has something to do with the image of God. And what is the meaning of the image of God? That means the being of God. Who is God? So this is remarkable, and we cannot. I don't go this afternoon to preach about the image of God. I did it before, but I just want to make that connection between the image of God and marriage life. So first of all, it is it speaks collectively about the creation of human beings when it says, and God created man, that is everyone, created man in his own image. So every man is created in that image. There is no one excepted. There is no discrimination based on race, on skin colors, on what kind of position in the community. Everyone is created in the image of God. If you're living in Canada or in Sudan or in Africa or in Asia or in Israel, everyone, every man is created in that image. But then the text says, and it continues, male and female created he them. Plural. Plural. He created them in the image of God. Male and female. What does that mean? That means the man in his manhood, being a man, shows something from the image of God. And a woman in her womanhood, in being a woman, will show something from that image of God. The attributes that God has in himself, he has communicated them to man and to women. And we need to realize that being man and woman, male and female, that's not just a choice, but that's created. And that's more important, it's connected to the essence of God himself. It's connected to the image of God. The Bible makes that very clear from the beginning. There's a clear distinction between male and female. Congregation, I don't go in the whole discussion about gender and so on. But don't believe when people will try to convince you that gender is something what I feel. And despite how my body parts are, but yes, my gender depends on my feelings. You can right see from the beginning, this is not the way how God created us. Very clear. And this is the thing, congregation. You see, when we leave that path, a scriptural path, then we also leave that connection. That man and woman, male and female, are connected to the image of God. It's a distinction rooted in creation. And that's also important for marriage life. Quite often when I speak with couples who would like to get married, we speak about that. There is a difference between man and between women. A man, he is solution-oriented. A man has always a solution, always. And the wife will say, keep your solutions. I don't need your solutions. I can make my own solutions. But please, and that's a woman. A woman likes to have an ear to listen. Listen to me. Listen. Likes to tell, likes to share. Distinction. Man and women are different. Right from the beginning in creation. Important for marriage life. And so you see, congregation, and I can enlarge it, but I don't do that. But being male and female, that are actually complementary qualities. They need one another. A man needs a woman. A man needs a wife, and a wife needs a man. And together, that's what we can see. Together they form a unity in diversity. And that image of God comes also clear in the man and woman relationship, man and wife relationship, in marriage life. Oh, in marriage life there is the unity. The unity, also physical, between man and woman. as an image of that close connection between God and His creatures. Yes, you have to. I can say it's the image of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is three persons, one God. I can't explain it, but I only know this triune God is love in Himself. That's His existence. And so in the Trinity, it's based on love. And man and women are created in the image of God, and marriage life. And we hope to see that the next week again when we speak from Ephesians chapter 5 about the marriage life and Christ and His church. But here you can already see this is how God has created marriage life in paradise as an image to show this world the unity in His own being and the love between man in Christ and God. So that's my first point I want to make. The biblical marriage is rooted in the image of God. What a wonderful thing when man and wife may live in that communion, be a unity, and to show in our daily lives. I'm really convinced, congregation, and I will speak about that next week later, but I will say it to you. It was a discovering for myself a couple of years ago. Why has God created marriage life? Yes, for the well-being of man. Yes, for to be able to fill this world, to recreation. But the main purpose, congregation, is to show God in this world, to show the unity between Christ and His church in this world as a visible preaching to each and every one about the being of God in Christ. So our marriages are given to show in this world Christ and His love for sinners. Let's now go to my second thought. That biblical marriage, like we have read from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it is solemnized by God Himself. It's actually remarkable. We read in chapter 1 how God created everything and how He had created man and how He so often has spoken, and it is good. And it is good. And it is good. And then you go to chapter 2. And then you read in verse 18, and it's not good. It's not good. It's remarkable, isn't it? It's before the fall. God said there's something not good. It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. O congregation, God speaks again. We have spoken about this chapter before, and we have seen how God's quite often God is speaking in this chapter. He is often speaking to Himself, and also here. God is speaking in verse 18 to Himself, and the Lord said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And congregation, that applies to all human beings. We as man, we as human beings are created to live in communion. That belongs to the image of God we have seen. And yes, we are living in a broken world. Sometimes people stay alone and for all different reasons. Some do never come to marriage life. Some are widows or widowers. Some are alone because of diversion. Congregation, and sometimes you can also read it in the Bible that God, for his own reasons, lets people stay alone. John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul. And although it's sometimes so hard and so difficult, also when we have that need of homosexual feelings, of all the other problems there can be there. I spoke about the gender problematic, and gender dysphoria is a problem. It's a need. I don't know if you ever met and have spoken with people in an open, honest way about these matters. When you did it, you will become very careful with your words and with your opinions. But still not according to God's creation. It's just the fruit of this broken, sinful world. But what I want to say is this. So it can be so hard to stay alone, and people can go through this life being lonely, and that's not an easy thing. But don't forget, what was the purpose of marriage life? It's not first of all to have the joy of communion. Yes, it is a joy. It's a big blessing, that's true. But when the main purpose remains to show Christ in this world, whoever you are, and whoever you struggle with all those things, and with all the needs of loneliness, keep it in mind, Lord, that I might show also being alone thy image in this world. Although it's hard, although it's difficult. But it is clear that the purpose of God in creation was creating man in communion instead of in loneliness. And so, we can have all these needs, and I mentioned them already. Even we can be in a marriage life and still be lonely. There is no communication. There is no communion. Real communion. Oh, congregation, we live in a broken world, also in church lives. And sometimes you can ask, Lord, why? Why have to go that way? Or we can read in Scripture when man would like to follow God and his wife doesn't, or the other way around. It can be so hard that you don't understand each other. But let us keep it in mind. This is all fruit of a broken world because of sin. It's not the intention of God's creation. God says it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. It's also a beautiful word, a helpmeet. A help. No, that doesn't mean a slave. A wife is not a slave of a man. No. When of course I know all the discussions and it's totally against the spirit of our times, but woman, please, that's not the position. You are not just a help So a help over there. You may help your man. Oh no. God called so often himself the help of a sinner, of a man. Isn't it? Oh, you can find it, for example, in Psalm 33, verse 20. He is our help. God is our help. And this is the position given by God to every woman in marriage life, to be a help, like God is a help. Do you see? That's a privilege. And that's what it means to have a help meet. And I mentioned already, congregation, a man needs that help. You can say you can look only to a woman, but you can say also on the other side, man need it. We need that help. We need that a person which is, and this is also the meaning of that word, help meet for him. That means on the same level. On the same level. You can look in one's eye, in each other's eyes. And a man wants to be seen by his wife, to be respect, to have respect. And a wife would like to be seen by man to find safety and security. God has given Eve to Adam to be a help meet for him. The congregation, it's nice and it's remarkable to see. God has spoken that in verse 18. This was God's side. But God is always working on both ends of the thread, you know. When he intends to do something, there's also another side. And that's what we see in the life of Adam. Because he is also creating a desire in the heart of Adam. When Adam is busy with to give all the animals a name, children, we know the story. And Adam sees all those animals. Then he comes to that conclusion. Then he says, but man is still alone. But for Adam, you can read it in verse 20. There was not found a help meet for him. And that's also important to realize. He works, God works that desire in Adam's own heart. Adam got that awareness and that longing. And congregation, that's how God is working. Yes, also when we are getting older, when youth getting older, there comes a desire. And I'm sure, young people in our midst, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure. And that's a healthy reality. That's a God-given longing. That's a created longing. That a boy longs for a girlfriend, and that a girl longs for a boyfriend. That a man likes to have a wife, and a wife likes to have a man. That's God-given. That's created by God. We see it in Adam before the fall. Congregation, actually, you can say that's very characteristic for God's actions. He gave first the desire, and then afterwards he will fulfill it. That's in marriage life. And therefore, when we speak about these important matters, young people in our midst, your desire is good. It's good. It's God-given. It's created. Let it be. We can find an example in the Bible. It's so beautiful example. In the life of Isaac. You have to read it. Isaac went out in the field praying for what? To get a wife. Let it be a matter of prayer. Let it be a matter of prayer to get a wife, to get a man. Ask God. Do never start a relationship, never start dating without prayer. To pray. Examine your desire. why I like to have that girlfriend, why I like to have that boyfriend? Is it because of him? Because of his... Yeah, what is the reason for that? Examine your heart. Be honest. Be fair. And in that way, God is answering. And sometimes we have to wait. We have to wait sometimes quite long. And there are people who have to wait their whole life and will never come to marriage life. And congregation, I have mentioned already before, this is hard. That can be hard. There are people who are single, and for them it is not a problem. But it can be so hard, so painful. But let it bring you on your knees, like that desire that God created, desire that God would fulfill that desire, like He did in the life of Isaac. And it is so remarkable, congregation. We know from Abraham and we know from Jacob. And we don't read from them that they were praying for that. And Abraham took a second wife, and Jacob had a second wife. And we know about all the problems they had in marriage life. And Isaac, he prayed. And he got one wife. And he had a blessed marriage life. God is going to fulfill that prayer, that longing, that desire in the life of Adam, in a way where Adam was missing and God is providing. By the way, congregation, that's God's way also in spiritual things. When He comes in the life of a sinner, He opens your eyes for what you are missing. For what you are missing. Missing God. Missing God's communion. Missing peace. Missing forgiveness. And in that way, missing seeking, He will bring a sinner to find the Savior, Christ Jesus. So when it comes to Adam, How Adam got his wife. We know the story. We have spoken about it before. God created Eve out of the rib of Adam. Out of the rib. There is a beautiful explanation, a Jewish explanation from a rabbi. And I don't know if that is true, but I think it's worth it to share. It says, why is God creating Eve out of the rib of Adam? Not out of his head or even out of his feet. And the rabbi says, now when she would be created out of the head of Adam, maybe she wanna stay above her husband. And when she would be created out of the feet of Adam, Adam would maybe put his feet on his wife and to subdue her. But he said, God has created Eve out of the rib. That's close to the heart of Adam. That's the place where the wife comes from. Close to the heart of man. To be loved. I don't know what I said, if this is true, but it's a nice explanation. And I think this is why God has created and has given marriage life. And that's why Adam, after the creation of Eve, is so joyful. You can find it in verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God brought this wife to Adam, it says. There's also an important detail. We don't take a wife. We don't take a man, a husband. we get one. It's a gift. That's why I spoke about praying. In the way of praying, in the way of seeking, God will provide. And therefore also the time of dating is an important time to figure out if we can stay together, if that is the way. If we not only look to the outward things, but that we love the personality, the character given to Adam. And then there was such a joy in Adam's heart. And it's still a joy. That's the purpose of marriage life in creation. It's a joy. Adam was joyful. It's remarkable, congregation. This is the only place, this is the first place, and the only place that Adam is speaking before the fall in paradise. And that's about the joy of his given wife. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called her woman, it's translated woman. In the Hebrew language, it's the word Isha. And Isha is the feminine form of man, of Ish. Ish, Isha. You see, it's almost the same, but it's still different. And Adam, he sees this is Isha, given by God. And this is together, Ish and Isha, we may worship God, because also this wife, Isha and Ish, are created in the image of God to worship God, to glorify God. Well, congregation, then you see, when we start to complain about our husband, about our wives, Like Adam did after the fall, when he says that the wife thou hast given me, and we have spoken about that. That's after the fall, complaining. Do you see that sin? That's sin. No, and we have to be honest. You know, sometimes we call marriage life fairy tales, but that's not true. No. To love man and to love woman, that's a hard work. Marriage life is a hard work. It's really a hard work. And we need to do that. Every day again. To humble ourselves for each one. And we will see that next week. You can find it in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians that we have to humble ourselves before one another. So, although it can be hard and it can be difficult, let us keep in mind this is the God-given reality. And as I have spoken about it, I'm very aware. It can be so difficult situations, also in marriage life. Can be so hard. But when we go back to how God has created it, and as man and wife in marriage life, if you want to come back on that, and we need to go back to what God has ordered and what is the pattern God has given to serve one another. Yes, and then there's that joy. There's the joy of Adam, the joy of Eve. But congregation, there is also the joy of God when he saw it, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And then my last point is that biblical marriage, it formed the pattern for every marriage also today. The text says, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So this text is divided in three different parts, stages, you can say. First, a man shall leave his father and mother. Secondly, shall cleave unto his wife. And thirdly, shall be one flesh. This is the biblical order. This is the created order given by God Himself. First, shall a man leave his father and his mother. And you can see, congregation, this is added by Moses as the author of the book of Genesis. He says, therefore, it's the conclusion out of what he has spoken about creation. Therefore, shall. It's a God-given order. Let's realize that. When it comes to marriage life, to sexuality. Therefore. So first, let us see, what is the meaning when it says, man shall leave his father and his mother. Congregation, then we see something will change. First, we are living with our parents. But on the day of marriage, we will leave our parents. We will leave our father and our mother, and we will start a new union, a marriage union. We have to leave our father and our mother. And of course, we are very familiar with that. But I think there is a deep meaning in that. To leave our father and our mother, that's, first of all, not always easy. Not always easy. It's not easy for parents to let their children go and to accept that they have their own life and that they have, and as I always in wedding service, when I will mostly say that the hand of parents doesn't reach in the marriage life of his children. Our children, when they got married, they are responsible for their own lives. Yes, you can advise them and you can pray for them, but they have their own union. They have to leave their father and their mother. Congregation, I have seen the problems when a mother and a daughter are like friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when actually a man is married not only with the daughter but also with his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law knows all the secrets of marriage life, that's an unhealthy thing. That's an unhealthy thing. No, yes, when they ask for help, help them, and pray them and give them advice. But let us not try to rule in marriage life of our children. And it can also be, of course, with man. We have to leave our parents. And I mentioned already, this is not easy. And I also want to say this. It's very practical, this afternoon services. Let me be practical. To leave my parents doesn't mean to let my upbringing go. To say, okay, now I'm my own boss, and mom and dad, it's nice what you said, but now I go my own way. Oh, no, they are still your parents. Still your parents. And don't disrespect your upbringing by going other ways, which are really against your upbringing. It's a sin. Because although you are married, your parents remain your parents. To leave your father and your mother. That's the first part. The second part is to cleave unto his wife. To cleave. It's a wonderful thing. That's man and wife cleave together. There's not a room for a third party. No, those two people, they cleave together. It's important. Man, I'm also a man. Men are hunters, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? One single second. Oh, the eyes of man. Men are always focused on the visible part of sexuality. Hunters. God has called us to cleave to our wives. Our wives, not to others. Not also to look. Like Jesus has spoken about these things very clear. To cleave. And yes, it's also important. That does not mean that we are such a union that we have now our own characters. And you know, quite often you see that problem in marriage life, that a woman thinks, after I get married, I will change my husband. He will change according to my will. It will never happen. Don't think that. We have to accept one another. Of course, you can speak about it. But don't have that wrong expectations. We still have our own characters, and our marriage life is never perfect. To cleave, it's a wonderful thing in love, to serve one another. And then the last part, it is, and they shall be one flesh. That's the biblical order. First to leave. To cleave to my wife, and then to be one flesh, then sexuality. O congregation, and this is totally against our times and totally against the spirit of our time. Almost every movie or what's on the television or what you can find on social media is totally the opposite. Sexuality is, and we will speak about that later more. It's just like food. You can take it as much as you want. But that's not the order given by God. It's very clear. Only in that safety of marriage life, sexuality can be there. Sexual intercourse can have a place. That's how God has created marriage life. And I'm afraid, congregation, that because of all these, the influences of the world, they're also influencing our youth and our lives. We start dating, and we start also with sexual intercourse. And sometimes we break up, and we start a new relationship, and we are going the same way. And maybe we break up again, and we do it again. Let me first say this. This is sin. You can never expect a blessing on that way of living. Never. When we read the scriptures carefully, the moment that a man has sexual intercourse with a woman, you are married before God. You are married. Amen. You take another one by you break up and you start a new relationship. Actually, you are breaking marriage. Sin against the seventh commandment. And if you never come on your knees and confess these sins, you can go to church and you can kneel down on the new bank and I can give you a blessing, but you will never receive the blessing of God. Because you're living in sin. And therefore, congregation, this is a very important matter to see how God has created these things. It's a beautiful thing. Yes, sexuality, it's a created reality. It's a good thing in itself. It's a gift of God to enjoy in marriage life. Yes, nothing wrong with that. But Satan likes to destroy everything, and that's what he does. And you can compare it, and I will give that example quite often for young people, with duct tape. You know what is duct tape? When you have fresh duct tape and you put it on a table, it's strong. It cleaves, it's strong. But when you take off that duct tape and you put it back, it's not that strong as it was before. And do you two times and three times, it hasn't that power anymore. And congregation, when it comes to sexuality, that's actually that cleaving power, a God-given power between man and woman, and it's a gift in strengthening the relationship between man and woman. But when we are trying before marriage life with all different people, we are like doing with duct tape. Take it, put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off. That's the reason that so many marriages still are broken in our days. You can't, it's fruit of a sinful life. And to be honest, I need to be careful with my words. Of course, every situation is different. But the increasing number of the problems I mentioned, it's part of the spirit of our times. And so congregation, and then when we see, and then I will close. But when we see the order in creation, yes, I can understand. When we are dating, when we have a relationship, sexual longing is also part of it. That's healthy. But then we need to pray. And then we need to speak with one another, to stay clean, and to wait until God will give us that marriage life. And so that's important to learn. That's to learn. It's important. The time of dating is important to learn to wait. Not to give in every moment to my feelings, to my lusts, but to respect one another and take out that wonderful gift on the day of my wedding. Congregation, this is the first message I would like to share with you, how God has created. To start not negatively, but positively. And I mentioned already, this is the practical side of that. But it has a spiritual side also, and we will see it hopefully next week. I hope to preach from Ephesians chapter 5. To be a member of the body of Christ. And that Christ that the man has be like Christ in marriage life, to give his life, and that a woman has to be like the church. That's also the spiritual side of that. We hope to see it next week. May God bless also this instruction for each and every one of us, and remember us in mercy. Amen. 251 verse 2, we will sing together now. The second stanza. Let's pray. O Lord, we come to Thee. And also when it comes to the seventh commandment, and when we have seen how Thou hast created the wonderful gift of marriage and the gift of sexuality, O Lord, then we have to confess our sins, our brokenness, our guilt. O Lord, there is nothing we have to offer Thee. O, we need, Lord, daily the cleansing of our hearts by Thy blood. And that's why Thou went to Calvary's cross. O Lord, grant us to see that. And that we might be humbled, like Thou did with Peter, like we have heard this morning. And Lord, sometimes it's also the sin which will humble a sinner before Thee. Lord, remember each and every one who can struggle with all these different aspects we have spoken about, all different ways of life, in marriage life, outside marriage life. Oh Lord, remember us and strengthen us. And when it is necessary, Lord, let us find a way to speak about our needs. Oh God, in particular, this sin can easily increase in loneliness. Oh Lord, and that we as a congregation might be aware of that, and that we also might be sensitive to listen, not to condemn, to listen to the need of our brother or sister, the need of our youth. Oh Lord, Thou knowest the pain we can have, the longing, the unanswered prayers. Be Thy providential cares in ways we don't understand. But, oh, grant us to see, like we hope to see next week, that the main purpose of our lives as a Christian is to show who Thou art, O dear Lord Jesus, in this world. And Lord, then we have everything against us, and therefore our eyes are unto Thee. It's Thy work. And therefore, O Lord, we bend our knees before Thee. And here we are. We have nothing to offer Thee, but take our lives and make them, a light in the world and salt in the world. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy help this day. Be with us also in the coming week. Help us in all our labors, at school, at home. Remember the teachers, the children. Help us in our, wherever our labors are, Lord, be with us and strengthen us. When we are not able to work, Lord, be also then in that circumstances with us. We pray, Lord, remember also, and in this week we will have tomorrow evening the consistory meeting. Help us and be Thou in our midst, that all might be for the well-being of Thy congregation. Lord, we pray, and we will have our week service on Thursday. Help in all the preparations, and be Thou in our midst again. May we commend unto thee again, Lord, the Prose family, when they will stay on the graveside coming Tuesday. Strengthen them and be there with thy presence, we pray. Lord, remember those young people. May we pray again for Aryan. May we pray for Amanda, Lord. Be with them and go with them. And we ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. In closing, we will sing Psalter 280, stanzas 1 and 2. 280, 1 and 2. The people go in peace and lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.